with Yeshua, we have to base our walk with him on his calendar. And if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of your months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And if you go with me to Exodus chapter 13, verse 4. This day came you out in the month of Abib. So he's talking about the month of Abib, which is another name for Nisan, which is the first month of the year on his calendar. So we can't end the year unless he ends it. We can't begin a year unless he begins it. It's just so important that we're in tune with him into his timing and seasons. Because he really, in the Psalms, he says he wants to end the year with fatness. He's still got to work for us to do and for work for him to do in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, every year is a training session with him. And he's not finished with the training yet. We still got three months to go. March 20th is the beginning of the year on Nisan 1 in 2015. This year. That's the beginning of the year. And so he still wants to do a work, get us ready, prepare us for that new beginning. But so many people are expecting the Father to do something by January 2nd. If it doesn't happen, they're right off the whole year. But the year's not over yet. And you really got to understand that. You know, of course, for tax purposes, most people on January to December on a Gregorian calendar. But really, in your relationship with the Father, you got to be on his calendar. A car can't go down a road properly unless it's timed and tuned. And his timing is impeccable. But another topic I want to talk about is this dispute between wine or grape juice. And you really have to be very careful because the Bible says that wine is a mocker. Not how much you drink or whatever, the volume, but just that wine is a mocker. And so many people are drinking wine and it's distorting that relationship with the Father. It's distorting that communication with the Father. So many ministers are ministering and they drink that wine and it interrupts that communication. It's just so very important. And go with me to John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 2. See, a lot of people use this wedding feast of Cana to kind of back up their argument that it was really wine instead of grape juice that he made. See, in the Old Testament, it's Y-A-Y-I-N is the Hebrew word for wine, and it's either fermented or unfermented based on the narrative of the story, based on how it's being used. Like when Noah, his daughters gave him Yain, which in that sense it was fermented wine, he got drunk. But in Lamentations 2:12, it says the children are crying out because they don't have any wine. It's grape juice. It's the same word. It's based on the interpretation of what's happening. And in the Greek, it's the word onios, O-I-N-O-S, which is the same for fermented or unfermented wine. So you have to be very, very careful. And really what they did in those days is they would squeeze the grapes, make it into a liquid, boil the liquid, and put it in new wineskins so it would not be fermented. And when they wanted to drink, the boil would be like a gel, and it would add water to the paste or the gel, and that's how they make the drink. And so, in John chapter 2, verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother Yeshua was there, and they went to the wedding feast, and his mother said they have no wine, and Yeshua said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. Then his mother said unto the servants, whatever he said to do, do it. Now, she's not saying that, you know, a lot of people think that she forced him to do that miracle. No, but she's saying he's the boss, and whatever he says to do, do. If he doesn't want to do anything, he won't do anything. But in verse 6, there was set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Yeshua said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and he filled them up to the brim. See, he was adding water. See, he wanted them to add water. He made the gel. He made the grape juice, the gel, and then they didn't need to add the water. And he said unto them, draw it nigh and bear it unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made, in this case grape juice, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. I said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. But when men are well drunk, then that which is worse, but has kept the good wine until now. This is the beginning of miracles that Yeshua and Cana of Galilee and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So he's going to get glory out of what he did. And so, you know, those wedding feasts went on for days and days. And this is our Father. He's not going to give him intoxicated wine to make him more drunk. Because wine has the possibility of destroying somebody's lives. How many bad decisions have been made from drinking intoxicated wine? How many girls have gone to spring break as virgins, got some wine and got raped? It's terrible, and the Father's not going to give anything that is going to hurt somebody. So he made grape juice, and that was the whole purpose. If you go to Luke chapter 9, verse 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, Yeshua did, you know not what manner of spirit you are. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And he went to another village. See, the Father is not going to give people intoxicated wine to destroy their lives, because wine is going could eventually possibly destroy somebody's lives. And it has nothing to do with moderation, drinking in moderation, because the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 1, that wine is a mocker. It's a mocker, no matter how much a person drinks. And the Bible said that the priest, when he went into the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies, could not drink any wine. And that's the presence of the Father. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and we have the presence of the Father. We have the Father inside of us. It's a terrible thing, hallelujah, to pour that stuff into your body. It'll harm. And see, again, the Father says, Yeshua said, I'm not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them. So why would he give something that could potentially hurt somebody to drink? It's bad interpretation. And the grape juice has been translated wine. Matter of fact, the grapes on a tree have been called wine. And even in Jeremiah, when they're in captivity, the king Gedaliah said, why don't you stay in Jerusalem and just serve the king of Babylon and gather, you know, the summer fruits and the wine and the bread, the wine. He's going about grape juice, grapes. See, it's the same word, so it's got people distorted on that. The King James people, they put wine in every situation, just about, and it should not be. And it's got people making bad decisions, interfering their relationship with the Father. You don't want, when you want to hear from the Father, you don't want anything to interfere with your relationship with Him and hearing Him precisely. Especially in this time and the seasons we're in right now, where it's like a pre-tribulation. It's like a preview of what the tribulation is going to be like. What's happening now? There's so many anger and people upset with this and that person. And you gotta be attentive to Him. If you were in World War II or World War I or something, and you were going to fight the enemy, you want to hear what the general has to say. You want to hear what the observers in the helicopters are saying over where the enemy is in there. But you want to hear precise instructions. So don't fool around with this stuff. The stuff has potential to destroy people's lives. And Yeshua would not do that. He would not destroy somebody's life. Hallelujah. In the book of Matthew, Matthew 26, Matthew 26 and verse 26, this is at the Last Supper. And as they were eating, Yeshua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. It's a symbol of his body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. You know, he didn't call it wine. He called it the fruit of the wine. It was grape juice. We don't know what kind of liquid it was, but if it's the fruit of the vine, grapes are on the vine. So it's grape juice. Hallelujah. He didn't call it wine, intoxicated wine. He called it the fruit of the vine. You got to be very careful. And see, a lot of people, he's not going to have some fermented wine be a symbol for his blood, because fermented wine is dead grapes, dead wine, fermented. It's going to be grape juice. As a matter of fact, when with Joseph, when actually Josephus, an historian, said that when Joseph had ministered to the butler and a baker in prison, and the butler was restored to his position with the Pharaoh, he was the cupbearer. The drink he would give to the Pharaoh, it would squeeze the grapes into the cup, and that juice would be for the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh knew that he wasn't going to be poisoned, because they're squeezing the grapes into the cup. That's what they drank, you know. So you really have to pray about this message, because especially if you're a minister, you don't want fermented wine to interfere with your relationship with the Father and ministering to people and trying to help them and teach them. You just want that perfect the perfect line of communication. And you really have to pray about it. Now go with me to Proverbs. Hallelujah. Proverbs 20. Verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. He didn't say wine is okay, but strong drink is a problem. He said wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. They're both in the same sentence. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He didn't say, again, didn't say how much you drink. He just said wine is a mocker. Later on, we'll read that even to look on it in the glass is a problem for some people. So wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. How could grape juice be a mocker? It's not. It's wine, fermented wine, fermented grapes. And strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of the king is the roaring of a lion. Also provoking him, whosoever provoking him anger sins against his own soul. By drinking that wine and strong drink, you're provoking the king of kings, Yahweh. You're provoking him to anger. You sin against your own soul. It's not an option. And later on, it talks about Timothy, I think, says to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. I mean, since when does wine help the stomach? Grape juice might help the stomach. How many of you got drunk on wine? It really didn't help the stomach. It's just the word wine can be translated fermented or unfermented, and that's the problem. The King James people put the word wine in there, and so many people just read it as fermented wine. And use that as an excuse to drink it, but you can't. If you belong to Yeshua, you can't drink it because you're a priest. You're between the Father and other people. I'm not saying if you're a minister. The Bible says we're a chosen generation, we're a priesthood. You're a priest. And priests could not, again, go into the holy place and drink wine into the presence of the Father. But he's inside of you. He's always with you. You're always in his presence. You don't want to interfere with that relationship. Hallelujah. And Proverbs 23. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Proverbs 23, verse 20. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunken and the glutton shall become to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the man with rage. So he's even equating, you know, stuffing on food, you know, being a glutton to a drunkard. That's a different message, but the point is that we need to kind of be temperate in things, you know. I'm not saying for everybody. Some people need to be temperate in the way they eat, you know? Praise him. But it says in verse 29, who has woe? He's saying, who has woe? Who has sorrow? He's saying, if you want woe and you want sorrow, and who has contentions, and who has babbling, who had wounds without a cause, who had redness of eyes? He's saying, If you want these things to be evident in your life, who has woe, who had sorrow, who had contention, if you want woe, which is trouble, sorrow, contentions, babbling, and wounds without a cause, redness of eyes, if you want that, do the following. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. You say, this is what wine can produce in somebody's life, trouble, sorrow, contentions, babbling. Wounds without a cause. And redness of eyes. Hallelujah. In verse 31. Look now thou upon the wine when it is red. That's the fermented wine. When it giveth its color in the cup. When it moves itself aright. At the last. See, then don't even look at it. Don't even entertain it. It's just so dangerous to some people. Just like overeating could really hurt somebody, you know, who's heavy and heavy and heavy. You know, that's overeating. But this is just taking even... somebody's heavy, 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 being a glutton could really hurt them. But he's not even talking about drinking too much wine. He's talking about even looking upon it. When it's red, when it gives color in the cup, when it moves itself all right. See, it's best not to have anything to do with it. Especially if you don't want your relationship with the Father to be interfered with. Unless it bited like a serpent and stinked like an addict. It didn't even say he took it. It's just that he's looking upon the wine. It bites. You don't want to get too close to the steak. You don't want to get close to wine. Not that you're afraid, but it's something that the Father does not approve. It can interfere with his communication with you. Hallelujah. What was the first thing that went wrong with Adam and Eve is that the relationship with the Father was interrupted by Satan. Satan wants to distract you in these last days. There's so much trouble that is happening in a good part of the world that people may be looking to wine, to other forms of alcohol, just to be numb. But you can't. You got to be in communication with him because you're in a war. And you got to find out what his next step is and what he wants you to do. You can't be out there just snoozing and drunk on wine. And I'm not even talking about drunk on wine. Wine has a bad effect on the brain cells. Hallelujah. He didn't say in Proverbs 20 that wine is not so bad, but strong drink is raging. He said wine is a mock and strong drink is raging. He's equating the two. You don't want to bring that demonic stuff into your body. Hallelujah. Praise the Father. Not that it's going to bring demons into your body, but the fact is it's going to affect you. It's going to affect your communication with the Father, and it's so important these last days. It's just like, you know, you see police and there's trouble, there's a lot of trouble. They have walkie-talkies. They're in communication with the supervisors. You got to be in communication with the Father. And their eyes shall behold strange women, those who take that wine, and their heart shall utter perverse things. Yeah, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? I will seek it again. Well, you might say, well, I could just drink a little bit and put it away. But man, if there's more pressure on you to drink more and more of it, it could break up families. It could interfere with your ministry. Most importantly, it could interfere with your relationship with the Father. You don't need that. If it's got a hold on you, man, ask the Father to set you free right now. Hallelujah. You don't need that stuff to enter his temple. Hallelujah. Praise him, praise him. I'm praying that you're receiving this because it's just so very, very important that you understand where he's coming from, that he wants to use you in these last days. He wants you to help his children. But the problem is you're trying to be numb, maybe not. You're taking it because it's a tradition, but it I'm showing you today that the tradition is wrong. Some of the time, in the word should have been translated grape juice. Again, it was called wine. The grapes are called wine when it's still hanging on a tree. And again, in Jeremiah, he said, "You know, why don't you just be with the king of Babylon and serve him, and you won't have any problems." Hallelujah. You see? And he said, "Hey, you just take the fruits from the field, you know, and drink all that, you know." Live and enjoy yourself, you know. But it called the fruits wine, and that's the grapes from the field. Because bring the summer fruits and the grapes and the bread. The word wine was used there instead of for the grapes. But that's just the translators and the King James people. You can't base your life on that. You really got to seek Yahweh on what I'm saying because it's so important for you. You know, you can see how all so many families have been broken up before alcohol. And enough wine is equivalent to, you know, a strong drink, too. And beer. A lot of people drink beer. That's not a problem. It's the same stuff. You don't need that stuff in your body. You don't need it. You don't need it. Be in communication with him. Hallelujah. It's just so very important right now that you don't test him. You don't want his anger like we talked about Proverbs 20, verse 1, that wine is a mock and strong drink is raging. And don't get the king angry. Don't get the king angry. I'm just going back to read that again for you. Wine is a mock, in Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mock, and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He didn't say how much you drink, again. It's just wine is a mocker. The fear of the king is the roaring of a lion. Whosoever provoked him to anger sinneth against his own soul. Hallelujah. Then it says, honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. It just slows you down. The wine just slows you down. It can make you a sluggard where you don't want to do anything. You just want to sit in the corner and drink. And you know how many people are laying in the streets, you know, they're called winos and drinking wine, and it's crept into the church where tradition makes it acceptable. So much of Christianity has painted a picture of Yeshua that's not true. They paint a picture of Christ and they're calling this Christianity, and it's traditions of man. Hallelujah. Praise God. They call Yeshua a wine baby because he hung around with people with the sinners just to help them. They call John the Baptist a demoniac just because he acts strange. None of those titles for Yeshua or John were accurate. You can't base what they called him. Hallelujah. It's just so important that you pray about this message and you go to him about it. Don't go to other people because they'll probably, hey, I'm drinking. It's all right. Don't worry. You go before the Lord. You search out those scriptures I said because you got to have that connection with him. If you want to go with him, you got to have that connection with him if you want to go in the rapture. But let's go to the Father in prayer right now. Father, I just thank you for the people that are listening out there right now. Put your hand on a radio. There's probably so many prayer requests out there, but the Father can touch you right now. Just what he's wanting to do in these last days is turn our flesh over to his spirit so his spirit can conform us into the image of Yeshua. And it's just so important that you understand that he's trying to take things out of your life that could interfere with him. And you can't keep it in your life because tradition. You can't keep it in your life because the majority of church believes that way. You get the road to heaven is straight and narrow, and a few are found on it. But the road to hell is wide, and many will be found on it. Just don't accept tradition without going to the Word. Hallelujah. It is so very important. But we'll continue praying right now. Father, I just thank you, and I worship you, and I praise you. I thank anything that's not of you, I command you to get away from the people listening out there. Go where God sent you and stay there in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, I love you, and I praise you, and I worship you. Anything that's not of you, I command you to get away from the people right now in the name of Yeshua. Go where God sent you and stay there in the name of Yeshua. And I plead the blood of Yah between you and them now forever in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, I loose your healing power in them right now. Restore family, restore people's lives. Father, give people a witness of this message that open up their hearts, Father, because the time is late. You're coming back, and you want a church that's pure, that's made itself ready. Oh, Father, minister to the people right now, Father. Hallelujah. Talk to their hearts, Father. Let them seek you and your kingdom, and all those other things be added unto you, Father. The kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit, Father. We just thank you, and I thank you, and in your presence, hallelujah. Let people seek you, Father. Father, you're coming back to take us in a rapture. Then 7 years later, you're going to come back and set up your kingdom here on the earth, Father. It's such a wonderful time, but people need to get ready. So many things are happening in the world that are a preview of the tribulation. So much anger and so much rebellion. And Father, we just thank you and praise you that you can take this message and so people can be tuned into you and it can become part of the remnant and a great and hear more from you. Hear the instructions. You before you destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, you gave Moses, you gave Abraham the plan, what you're going to do. And you want to give people a plan in these last days, but they need to be in tune with you. So Father, touch and heal people right now, Father. Minister to people right now. Take away the heart problems. Take away the tumors, Father. Take away the cancer. People are in comas. Oh, get them out, Father. Get them out of it. Heal. That your healing anointing flowing people's right now. People right now in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Oh, Father, I just thank you. I lift up my wife and I, Father, that we continue. Use this for your glory, Father. Open up more doors for us. Let's get this word out in the name of Yeshua. And if you're interested, I've written, first of all, again, this is Henry Walker, Apostle Henry Walker. My phone number is 772-801-3677, 772-801-3677, if you have any questions. I've written three books. One is called Seasons, talks about the feast of of Yahweh, the night of the Jews are for all of us, a beautiful feast, and it's three feasts that Yeshua hasn't fulfilled yet, and he will. It all has to do with the end times, but everything major he did on a feast day. I have a message on my website that shows you that he was born on Passover, died on Passover. You go to my website at henrywalker.org, www.henrywalker.org, and click on messages. You'll see when was Yeshua born, when did he die, when did he be raised from the dead. It's a beautiful message. And it just helps you to get back to your Jewish roots and understand that the early church were all Jews. Problem started when Constantine got in there and had a watered-down form of, set up his own Christianity. And most people in the church are following that Christianity right now. And we'll talk more about that in the next broadcast. Hallelujah. My second book I've written is called Noon. It talks about the different months of the year on his calendar and what he wants to repeat, some of the things he wants to repeat in those months. It's a beautiful thing. And he actually, what hours of the day does he move the most? There's certain hours of the day that he wants us to be in his presence so he can move in a certain way. And you get that from my book. My third book is called Demystifying the Trinity. Demystifying. Demystifying Demystifying the Trinity. Hallelujah. It talks about the Trinity as being the Father who manifests himself as a Father in the Son as the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Father is Spirit, the Father is Holy. There's only one. And Ephesians 4:4, there's only one Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. Yeshua is the Father manifest in the flesh. He said, Philip, when you see me, you're seeing the Father. The Father in me does the works. And we want to talk more about that next this broadcast. It's so important. You get these books by going to www.tatepublishing.com. www.tatepublishing.com, no spaces, and click on books, do a search for Henry Space Walker and see my books. Make sure you get the second edition of Dune. It's beautiful things that are added there. And you can also go to BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com to get those books. And actually, Demystifying the Trinity, you can see some of my, on my website under messages, you can scroll down and you see some of my book under Demystifying the Trinity is in my message. You can read that. Really help you so much. We just want to help you, and if I can come to your area and help and teach with no offerings required, just want to help you, just let me know. We just really just want to, I get the books at a discount too for your church group, your prayer group, Bible study, in quantity. So just let me know, and remember till next time, greater is your Father in you than he does in the world. Thank you for listening to God's Timing is Everything. For more information, please check out my website at henrywalker.org or contact me at 772-801-3677 or mailing address New Life Revival International, P.O. Box 12309, Fort Pierce, Florida 34979.